Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, quarterback, Oklahoma.
I think all this speaks for itself. I'm blessed to be here. I can't even put it into words. It's a dream come true. As a kid growing up, you know, you always dream of being the number one pick in the draft. And to be here, I think it's just a testament to God and all the hard work. Everybody who's pushed me and, helped me get to this point.
With the second pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Nick Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State. With the third pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Quinnen Williams, nose tackle, Alabama.
With the fifth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Devin White, linebacker, LSU.
With the 14th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Chris Lindstrom, guard, Boston College. In the 2019 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Brian Burns, defensive end, Florida State. The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 31st pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 31st pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Caleb McGarry, tackle, Washington.
We strengthened our offensive line through the most physical lineman in the draft that we thought. Both players will fit in well with what we want to do and how we want to play. We'll play Chris at guard. We'll play Caleb at tackle.
We were steadfast in our approach. We had planned on being very direct about how we were going to put things together this offseason. Spent a lot of time, as we've mentioned, on the bigs on both sides of the line. And we felt we were in a spot to grab two offensive linemen that we thought and think can be legit contributors for us. And we spent the time looking at these guys to see if they were fits both on and off the field for us. And we're really excited about the grit, toughness, and urgency that they had.
Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff, of course, before him, head coach Dan Quinn. Our thanks to ESPN for all the audio. Round one of the NFL draft is in the books. Falcons get two first-rounders. And welcome to your first chance to react to all of it with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And all I can say is, I didn't see that coming. How you doing, Hugh? What up?
Is my mic on? Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I just had to make sure, every now and then, I don't turn that mic on. But yes, it wasn't, I think it was kind of what everybody expected, but in an unexpected way. And it's funny, because we sat here on this station, and fans on our Twitter feed and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, they talked about the needs of the Atlanta Falcons. And with the Falcons making these picks in an area of need, it's amazing to me that people still really aren't satisfied with the picks there, John Fricke. And it's funny because I think that people aren't satisfied with the picks is because they're not names that they're familiar with. You know what I mean? Because we've been saying, like, this is the main reason why I do not like to throw out names, because people, whether you know it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not, especially when you're talking about certain players at certain positions, say like that we were talking about offensive line, and you know, you hear the name Jonah, whatever his name, or
Williams, right?
Yeah, you hear all the different offensive linemen names. Because for whatever reason, people get fixed on that name, and they get fixed on the highlight reel. Now, let me emphasize that word, highlight reel, on a player. And they feel like by watching that highlight reel that this is the best player for your team, respectively, whatever that team is. Think about it like this, people. Thomas Mitchell, Coach Quinn, and their scouting department, they have been watching these guys for years. Like, they just because they're just on your radar, like if they get on your radar, that does not necessarily mean that they're on the coach's radar. They've been scouting. They've been going around the country for years scouting these young men. This is not like a one of those things where you say, okay, this is your year. We're going to look at you. No, scouts go to schools and they say, hey, say we're going to see player X. Player X is a senior. He's coming out this year. But hold up. It's somebody else. Wait a minute. It's a sophomore that's there that looks pretty good. We've been watching him. Like, we came to see this guy, but this guy right here looks pretty good. You follow me, John?
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
They've been watching these players for a long time, way longer than we have. And they have way more resources than we have. But it never fails. Every year we go into the draft, the players that we pick, somebody's not happy with it. I just find that fascinating. I really do. And these guys haven't played it down in a Falcons uniform yet, but somebody has a problem with it.
Well, the Falcons went out and used not just one, but two first-round picks on offensive linemen. And now, given what they did in free agency, they have at least a dozen offensive linemen. They've got to be able to field an offensive line. And if this was the big concern last year, Lord knows Matt Ryan was under pressure. Lord knows they couldn't run the football. We talked at length, did we not, about the failure of this team to be able to get third down and one.
Yes.
Or first down and goal at the one. Or to do anything in terms of that. Well, you know what? If this was the biggest area of need, it also says a lot of things. I mean, we're saying here that, because understand that at the moment, the Falcons do not, at the moment, they do not have a pick today. They don't have a pick in round two, and they do not have a pick in round three because they traded their second and third round picks to move up to get the Rams pick to take the tackle Caleb McGrary with the 31st pick overall. So at the moment, the Falcons won't even touch their defense until round four on day three, which says that to me, Hugh, that Dan Quinn said, I'm okay. We went out and got Adrian Claiborne. We got Tyler Davison. Keanu Neal's healthy enough that we're going to give him a fifth-year option. Rico can play again. We're convinced of that. We went out and, we are okay with the top 16 guys we have on defense, and everything is a depth thing. That's basically what they said.
I mean, and, it's still time to feel, you could probably still find some players in later with in D tackles and things like that. And then you got the factor in guys that are going to be invited to camp that might make some noise. Me personally, I'm a defensive player, and I am all for putting pressure on the quarterback. I would love to get a D tackle, but like I said yesterday, John, and I'm going to stick to that. If Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff decided to get two offensive linemen, mm-hmm. they're going to be two offensive linemen that are going to play.
Yeah, like right now. Right now.
Yeah, that's what I look at. And I look at the philosophy of this offense. It'll probably be easier for them to integrate in because you got to listen to the words that they use. They're two guys that play with nasty. That's what they said. That's what I heard. And I looked at a little bit of film on both of the guys. That's what you need. And if you're thinking about it, John, they're going to come in and they're going to be maulers. They're going to be run road graders right now. Pass protection is going to come. But yeah, I think McGrary. I was looking at McGrary's film. Got good feet for a big guy. I think that he's probably going to be. He's not probably going to start right away. I would say the guard's going to start almost immediately. He'll probably get it. He's going to get more of an opportunity to start. I think McGrary, on the other hand, I think he has great feet. Probably needs to work on his technique a little bit. And granted, again, folks, I didn't go into my bag. I don't have as much resources as the Falcons do to tell you exactly what I saw. The little bit that I did see, he needs to work on his hands just a little bit. But I like his foot movement, and I like the fact that in the blocks, he likes to finish. He is the type of guy that if he gets you in a bad spot as a defensive lineman, he's going to finish you.
We've had a lot of negative reaction to after the first day of the NFL draft here in Atlanta before. It's nothing new. There have been days where they've been celebrated. Certainly the trade with the then San Diego Chargers on the Mike Vick deal. But the last time this team, Hugh, drafted a guy from Boston College, number one overall in there.
Matty Ice.
Yes, and Ben, man, this town was not happy. You know, remember, they did not like it at all. And then we don't even have to go back that far to remember that there were a lot of people that did not, and Falcons fans, who believed what they were saying on ESPN, that Keanu Neal was a serious reach, and they used that word again last night with Chris Lester.
No, they did. It's funny, John, and I'm not picking on my man Jeremy, because Jeremy just tweeted me. Jeremy, I'm not picking on you, Jeremy Bell. But he said the same exact thing. Terrible, terrible, no value at these spots. They reached on both. If that's the way you feel about it, cannot change the way you feel about it. I would say this. Coach Quinn, up until this point, and Thomas Dimitroff, can't leave him out. They've done a great job of drafting guys that have come in and giving them what they need for their football team. There is nothing in the past with Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff drafting together indicates to me that these two guys can't play. And I would even go back to the Keanu Neal draft. When I sat there, we were sitting up there, and I think it was a Taco Mac or something like that, John. And people were all up in their feelings about this draft pick. I was even to the point where I sat there and I was like, didn't pass judgment, but it did make me think, like, wow, that's interesting. Keanu Neal's a Pro Bowler. Keanu Neal's a Pro Bowler. Keanu Neal's a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let that sink in for a minute. The same folks that said that he was a reach, if you look at his draft, how many other guys in his draft are Pro Bowlers? I know it's probably a few, but I'm just saying, look at the draft. I mean, if you want to measure whether or not that's a reach or not, look at what he's been able to do in a short period of time compared to everybody else that went before him or after him.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh. We're going to be reacting to the draft with you all day. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open 404-741-0929. We'll be taking your calls throughout the day. Certainly our Twitter is going to blow up. We know that. We understand that as we talk about the Falcons draft and we poll your opinion. The Falcons grabbed two offensive linemen, okay, in the first round. This is up at our Twitter at 929 the game right now. Offensive guard Chris Lidstrom from Boston College. Offensive tackle Caleb McGrary from Washington. What's your opinion of the first round picks? You can vote love it. Offensive line now set. I guess I'll trust TD and DQ. Boo, we had other needs, or still speechless, is the four options. Again, those are the options, and, of course, we want you to weigh in the comment section as well as we kind of interact with you about all of this. A couple of the quick headlines, because we're going to be spending so much time on the draft. Braves lost last night to the Cincinnati Reds, had a chance in the seventh inning, loaded the bases, Hugh, and then you had Dansby Swanson, Ender Inciarte, and Ozzy Albies as a pinch hitter. Dansby, Ender, and Ozzy with the bases loaded. KKK. All right. That was the game. And then wasted a pretty solid outing from Julio Teheran.
Yeah, I heard you using your feelings a little bit this morning when we were talking about the Atlanta Braves.
It is also T-Day tonight at Georgia Tech.
Can't wait.
One of the last teams to have its spring game, the first ever with Coach Jeff Collins. We have a loaded back half of the show, all sorts of guests, including the head coach of Boston College who coached Chris Lindstrom and can tell us all about the number one pick. Yeah, how about that? The number one pick. That just occurred to me. Yeah, you're the number two number one pick there, Caleb. Two number one picks for the Atlanta Falcons. What do you think about it? We'll talk more and take more of your reaction next.
The Los Angeles Rams have traded the 31st pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 31st pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Caleb McGrary, tackle, Washington.
That may have been the biggest surprise of the two, that the Falcons took Chris Lindstrom, who was generally rated as the number one offensive guard available in the draft. And you look at his tape and you see he's quick, he's athletic, he can get to the second level. And considering all the problems they've had at guard ever since Chris Chester left, that has been such a sore spot. That may be not such a surprise. But the second one, maybe a bit of a surprise in Caleb McGrary. We'll see how it all pans out. Welcome back to the morning show. Your reaction ahead to what the Falcons did. Two first-round picks, both on the offensive line. And Hugh, what surprised me, and we'll get again to your reaction here, but we've got to get a few things out of here first. I mean, for all we know, Lidstrom and McGrary, we'll be talking about them like they're Mike Ken and Bill Frelick or Lincoln Kennedy and Bob Whitfield.
Hopefully.
What surprised me is not so much that they drafted these guys. It's that they drafted these guys after what they did in free agency. They went out and gave Jaymon Brown guaranteed money, Hugh, at guard of $12.75 million. They then gave James Carpenter guaranteed money of $8.25 million. That's $21 million in guaranteed money to Jamon Brown and James Carpenter, only to turn around and draft two offensive linemen, 1-1.
Yeah, and they're going to get it. Both of these young men are going to get a chance to start. I would probably say Lindstrom would probably be the starter probably day one. All depends on how fast these guys pick up the offense. But I look at the theme, though, John, when you talk about what the Falcons are trying to do. And that's why I feel like the transition for these two young offensive linemen is not going to be that hard because, number one, they're going to be run blocking. They're going to be roll grading folks. Because you look at the two guards that they picked up in free agency, and they're known for not so much their pass protection, but their run blocking. The philosophy, the overall philosophy of the Atlanta Falcons has changed. And I know people want to talk about how you didn't address the defense. This defense, in comparison to the defense that went to the Super Bowl, I would say that with the addition of the people that you have right now, it's better than that defense. Let me tell you why. It's because now you're talking about your offense is probably going to be back up to snuff. They're going to be a little bit more balanced. We already know that this offense can throw the ball all around the schoolyard. They have the ability to do that. Now, when you add the ability to be able to run the ball, which I think they're going to be able to do with these big linemen that they have right now, you're talking about clock control, clock management, and now you're making the team that you're potentially playing against one-dimensional. I think that's the overall philosophy. It's not going to always work out like that every week, but when you look at the way that the team has been built in the past for the Atlanta Falcons, they're a team with a defense that plays better when it has a lead, plays much better when it has a lead, plays much better when the offensive playbook for the other team has been restricted to mostly passing plays. If you can get back to that, you're going to be fine. I understand where everybody's coming from talking about, you didn't address the offensive line and things of that nature, but think about it like this, people. If we're playing clock management games and if we're playing games where – you want to keep playing keep away. Because basically, that's what most teams did to the Atlanta Falcons last year. Offense was sputtering a little bit. They couldn't run the ball. And when the team's offense got on the field, they ran the ball, controlled the clock, did things of that nature. Now you're flipping the script a little bit. Now you're able to do that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the run game. You don't have at the moment a pick today. They could always trade into the second or third round. They have two fourth-round picks. But trading their second and third-round picks to the Rams to get McGarry is one thing. Let's talk about the run game. Right now you have a bit of an unknown. Look, a healthy Devontae Freeman is a very, very good. I love a healthy Devontae Freeman, but we know about his injury situation, at least his injury history for Devontae Freeman. Behind him, what do you got? You got Ito Smith and Brian Hill. I got to say that if you drafted for a run game, suddenly you're going to have to figure out that and start to think that you need to draft a running back, and that's got to become maybe the top priority for you right now.
There's no games being played next week, and there's still some people left to be drafted. This is not over. And when I look at this team right now and just with the pieces that they've acquired so far, I look at them as a primary running team. I mean, it's a passing league now, but I think they're going to put a much heavier emphasis on running the ball,
which means you need to get another running back in here to lickety split.
That might be the case, John. Or they might feel like Devontae Freeman, if he gets the quality blocking that he needs, that you don't have to do that. Maybe he'll stay healthier. Think about it like this, John. A lot of the hits that Devontae Freeman took before he got hurt was in the backfield. And a lot of times, when you think about it, if you just think back to some of the games that he played in, he had to make people miss in the backfield before he got positive yards. Now, if you're playing on the other side of the ball as an offensive lineman and you're giving your running back that ability not to have to make that first cut to make the first man miss when he gets to the line of scrimmage, you're taking some of that wear and tear off his body. That's the philosophy. Right. That's the thought process.
We'll get to a lot of your comments from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and from our Twitter at 929 The Game, where we're asking you this morning about what your opinion is of the first round picks in Lindstrom and McGarry. It's on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Let's go to Don in Canton joins us this morning. Let's get some of your thoughts out there. We're going to be talking all day about this as we head to the second and third rounds today, which, again, the Falcons don't have a pick in. Don, welcome to the show. What do you make of what the Falcons did on day one?
Well, here's my thing. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Here's good morning.
Anybody that is a Falcons fan and has been listening had to hear what Dan Quinn said at the end of the season. He was at a point of disgust with this offensive line outside of Jake Matthews and Alex Mack. So that told me, and it should have told anybody that was listening, that they were going to go heavy on offensive line. Now, granted, they went and got some guys in free agency, but they don't have a lot of young guys to build around for the future on the offensive line. So I'm not necessarily mad at the picks and what they did. My only question is, and we don't know this, and we might not ever know this, I feel like they could have moved back to get this guy. I don't think that's somebody that they had to get at 14. But I don't think anybody – the main thing is I don't think anybody should be surprised, because Dan Quinn told you at the end of the season how upset he was with the offensive line. They had to rebuild this line, and I think people forgot how bad they were at the end of the season. And to your point, Hugh, real quick before I get off, this defense had a lot of injuries last year, and I guarantee you they feel like if they get everybody healthy, they're going to be at least a top 15, top 10 defense with the guys that they have currently, and I think that they'll be okay.
All right, that's well, I, and that's Don and Kent, and I totally agree. That's exactly what they said, and without saying it, by the way, they drafted yesterday, so we're going to be okay on defense. Our top 16 guys are set, and so we don't – in other words, we're not drafting a starter on defense, though I think they would have taken Christian Wilkins had he fallen to them at 14. But that's another story. We don't know that. We'll never know that. Here's the other side of the whole thing, what Don said. You and I sat here on the radio station on the phone with Thomas Dimitroff. Then we were at the draft with Thomas Dimitroff in person, and Thomas said to us on the phone and to our faces, I do not believe in drafting offensive linemen, rookies, because they don't start right now. I want to go out and get veterans. So they goes out and spent, again, $21 million guaranteed to Jaymon Brown and James Carpenter, which said, okay, Thomas said he believes in getting veterans. He just committed $21 million. You may have just committed, I don't know, $8.25 million to a guy that's not going to play.
Yeah, but that's what you call CYA, John, and that's what you have to do in a situation like this. Because to his point, I was surprised that they drafted him this high. But if you think about it, John, the conversation started to change a couple weeks ago when we got this information about how the offensive linemen, this is a great draft for offensive linemen. And when you look at it, it was like three or four offensive linemen taken in the first round. And then it was one offensive lineman taken from Alabama State, Titus, can't remember Titus's last name. Shout out to Alabama State for that one, because that was the unknown. I didn't look at anybody's draft board and see that his name was going to be one of the number one draft picks taken. Titus Howard, thank you very much, Abe. Yeah, so that shows you how it's changed over the course of one season, how the offensive linemen have gotten better.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we sat here with the premise, and there were a lot of defensive linemen taken, especially early, with Bosa and Williams and Gary, and then the surprise, in a way, of Cleveland Farrell going so high, and Cleveland Farrell was, you know, fourth pick overall. Wilkins went off the board, Ed Oliver. But I guess it wasn't until Jim Nagy told us last Monday when we were doing our show down at the farm that he said 10 to 12 offensive linemen. I'm going, wow, 10 to 12 offensive linemen.
Yeah, that was
linemen.
Pretty surprising.
And there were a whole host of offensive linemen taken in this draft.
Yeah, and John, not only that, think about, like, this is what Listen, I am not sitting here trying to get anybody to not feel the way that they feel about these draft picks, whether you like them or not. But just think about it like this for a minute, people. The NFL and the Atlanta Falcons have the resources where they see these guys way more than we ever could, way more than a Mel Kiper, way more than a Todd McShay. And anybody else who has a problem with these picks, this is the thing that I love about people that do what we do for a living, John. They will look at, they'll take all the highlight reels, and they will put them together, and you will see the best part of what a player is doing. When you're in the scouting department, and you have an idea or know who these scouts are, these cats are always on campus. Think about it, like Boston College campus. There's probably a scout up there every other day during the season, during football season. And they've been there for a while scouting these guys for years. Got a folder on these guys for years.
Especially when you had a running back, the quality of an Austin Dillon at Boston College that people were looking at. Was it because when you've got a great running back, is it him or is it the blocking? And so when you see
all of that, John,
you go, oh, what? Look at this guy opening these holes. I could run through those
holes. And then you have to think that these scouting departments that Coach Quinn's put together and all of this other stuff – Coach Quinn has even told you, they sit down and they watch film. They watch so much film. They never go home. Coach Quinn's wife probably don't even see him half the time. they're watching film on guys. They're looking at the good and the bad. They're looking at all of that. And they're evaluating from that. So when we get our small little sampling size of what we see on TV or what we think we see, bro, you better add that times 20 as far as what these scouts are doing. And that's all that I'm saying. If Coach Quinn, for me, as a former player, if he says up until this point that these are the guys that I need to make my football team better, I believe that's the case. Because he has done that up until this point.
And to Don and Canton, who said, you know, it sets us up for the future, which it may well, and you know, with young offensive linemen, that was what the other thing that kind of threw me was what Thomas Dimitroff said. The other thing that threw me was, you're not drafted for the future. You're drafted for this year. Because if you don't win this year, Thomas Dimitroff doesn't have a job.
One of those guys has to be a starter.
Lindstrom has to be a starter. Lindstrom absolutely 100% has to start. Hey, 92.9 The Game and Relay for Life need your help. Raise some money for the American Cancer Society. It's May 3rd at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. Go to relayforlife.org/join. Look for the Game Changers. That's our team, the Game Changers, at relayforlife.org/join. And join our team at Relay for Life at Jim Miller Park on May 3rd. Braves back home tonight to open a 7-game homestand. What happened to them last night? And what's are you going to see the Texters tonight in Jeff Collins' first spring game? And more of your reaction on the Falcons. You see how busy a post-round one draft day it is. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now, more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of reaction to what the Falcons did in round one of the NFL draft going on our Twitter right now, because we're asking the question. Falcons grabbed two first-round offensive linemen, offensive guard Chris Lindstrom and offensive tackle Caleb McGarry. What's your opinion of the first-round draft picks? You can vote love it, offensive line now set. Or you can vote I'll guess, I'll trust TD and DQ. Or boo, we had other needs. Or still speechless. And then, of course, you can always weigh in on our comments section. You can also weigh in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well. And we'll get back to our discussion of the draft at the top of the hour here as we break down what the Falcons did and where they stand going into this day two. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Your first chance to react to what happened in Nashville, Tennessee last night. But we have a big night ahead here in the city of Atlanta, and we want to just touch a little bit on that because we know the whole show and the whole day is going to be dominated by the draft. Braves are back home to open a 7-game homestand that at the moment, Hugh, includes Mike Foltynewicz returning to the big club tomorrow night.
Folty.
Yeah, so Folty will be back on a night where they lost in a long game that was interrupted by a rain delay last night to the Cincinnati Reds 4-2. Got a strong outing from Julio Teheran, but boy, they had men on second and third and couldn't get a run home. They had loaded the bases in the seventh and had a strikeout from Swanson and Ender and Ozzie Albies. And so it's just one of those nights where the offense kind of let the team down a little bit, frankly.
Yeah, and it was a game where, you know, with the rain delay, I think that probably had a little bit to do with it too as well, John Fricky.
Yeah, no, the Braves just didn't – I know it was one of those nights that it didn't feel right, you know, watching the game. I was doing the two-tablet thing, okay?
You was multitasking?
I was multi-tableting. I had both of the tablets I had, you know, set up with the Braves game up here and the draft down here, because the draft the first pick didn't even come till 8:24. It was 8:24 p.m. before the first pick was announced. Glad Arizona used all that 10 minutes to pick Kyler Murray, because we know that was a tough decision.
Well, they probably had, you know, the smoke and mirrors thing. I honestly believe that deal was done before, you know, the draft even started. Shout out to Maria Taylor too, man, because she was doing her bloodhound thing. She was trying to fish out whether or not Kyler Murray had gotten drafted, because she asked him some pointed questions about, you know, what would it be like to be drafted first, and he kind of deflected from it a little bit. But, you know, shout out to Maria Taylor for doing her thing on the red carpet the other night, last night.
Well, the Braves fall to 12-12, and, you'll have a 7-game homestand now and a chance to – when you get the Padres and the Rockies, you would think, even though the Braves have struggled at home, this is time you – coming off the last homestand they had was such a disappointing homestand, 2-5, and especially getting swept by Arizona, you got to start to make hay here at SunTrust Park.
Yeah, I do believe that that's the case, John. You know, and it's getting to the point in the season now where, you know, we're starting to try to figure out who our starting rotation is as far as our pitchers are concerned. And it's time to kind of turn the corner. And hopefully these guys will do that. Brian Snicker has been alluding to that. That's probably one of the main reasons why for the Atlanta Braves, they haven't made a whole lot of moves. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played, but they want some of these young guys to step up and take control of the situation, whether it be your starting pitching or in the bullpen.
The other big event going on in town, of course, the Braves will be taking on the San Diego Padres tonight. And it is the Padres, right? Not the Rockies. I've been so in the draft. I know that that's who they're playing on the homestand, right? It is the Padres tonight, correct? I want to make sure of that. It is the Rockies tonight. Then it's four Colorado against the Padres. Yes, it's three against Colorado, four against San Diego. Okay, got it. It is Colorado Rockies. So they'll take on the Rockies tonight at SunTrust Park. I just been such in draft mode. Other big note is, of course, at Bobby Dodd Stadium tonight, first ever spring game for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets as they get under Jeff Collins, as they get a chance to look at the new offense, Hugh, and a lot of Georgia Tech fans very anxious to see, they said for years, hey, we got to move on from Paul Johnson. Well, here's their chance to move on.
Yeah, and just remember, Tech fans, that this is going to be a process. This is something that's not going to change overnight, but you want to go out there and you want to see these young men compete and you want to see them pick up the offense and get acclimated as soon as possible. I think this is going to be a good thing, man. I think they're going to play with a lot of attitude. You know, that size thing kind of bothers me a little bit, even though your offensive linemen have put on a little bit of weight. They're still going to be asked to do something that they're not normally accustomed to doing. It's going to be some growing pains, no question about it.
Yeah, going to more of a pro style and spread kind of offense and throwing the ball across the yard. Going to be interesting to see tonight what Tobias Oliver and Lucas Johnson, guys that were drafted as the quarterbacks to fit Paul Johnson's offense, look like in a Jeff Collins offense. And Georgia Tech's going to be adding Jordan Yates, coming up the star quarterback from Milton in the future. And it's going to be kind of a flux year, and I hope Jacket fans, and I would expect Jacket fans, are going to be giving a little bit of leeway. Nobody, and I mean nobody's got a tougher start. Nobody in America has a more difficult opening game than Georgia Tech this season on the road against the defending national champions at Clemson. You cannot get any tougher than that. You just can't. You know, you can argue, well, Alabama, yeah, again, last time we saw Alabama, Clemson was killing them. So Trevor Lawrence, I mean, come on, you can't get tougher than that. So it'll be interesting to see what Georgia Tech has this year. I hope the fans are patient with them. I think at this point that 6-6 and a bowl would be a tremendous season for Jeff Collins out of the – really do.
First of all, John, fans are not going to be patient. That's just not in the DNA of a fan, of a diehard fan, and that's hard to do. I mean, I respect that. It is. It just is. But as far as going 6-6, that would be a good year. I think early on they're going to struggle. For the simple fact, John, you're going to be asked to do stuff that you haven't done before, especially on those passing downs when teams are going to pin their ears back and get after you. That's going to be the toughest challenge for this team. It's going to be a tough challenge for the young quarterback, whomever the starter is, because you're probably going to be running for your life a little bit. I think that the team that you have to look at when you're looking at Georgia Tech season this year is how well that defense acclimates to the new scheme that they're running. Because you got to think, they changed the scheme. They went
three
back
times.
And forth. Yeah,
three times
in a short
in 3 years.
Period of time. Yeah, so that's what you're going to look at. When it's a situation like this, when you're coming in with a new offense and you're going to have a lot of turnover as far as the personnel is concerned, a different philosophy as far as the personnel is concerned, you have to rely heavily on your defense. If Georgia Tech's defense can keep them in most of the games that they're in, it's going to probably be some ugly ones. If they can keep this team to low scores, they'll have a chance to win a lot of games this year.
Again, 7:30 tonight is the beginning. It's not a kickoff because they're not going to have any kickoffs in the game. They're just going to put the ball down and go, sort of like the AAF does. But 7:30 start time tonight for the white gold game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Again, Braves and Rockies at SunTrust Park. And tomorrow night, 6 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, with the Atlanta United Five Stripes trying to get back into the winning side of things against the Colorado Rapids. Our coverage begins at 5:30 with Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. Again, kickoff at 6 tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United and the Colorado Rapids. So a big weekend ahead in addition to the NFL draft. Once again, Falcons do not have a draft pick at the moment today at all because they traded both of them to move back into the first round. What do you make of what they did in round number one with their two first-round picks? Your reaction next. We'll hear from Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff and continue to update you on what the poll results are, about what the pulse of Atlanta is after the Falcons' picks last night, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.